You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The beginning of praise is to see yourself as you are and to see God as He is. How is He, anyway?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, our Father, in Jesus Christ, your Son, give us a real look at what life is all about. Help us to enjoy our work and our play in the glow of our worship toward you, our Savior and Redeemer. In Jesus, your Son and our Savior, we pray. Amen. When you think about it, there are three things besides eating and sleeping that make up most of life: work, play, and worship. The trouble with a lot of people is that they have things mixed up. They worship their work, they work at their play, and they play at their worship. The psalmist sang as he did because he had it all together. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." He said, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. This is the way people talk who have a pretty good idea of what life is all about. They work as this man did, but they know that work is not everything. They play as this man did, but they know that play is not the end of life. They worship because they see both work and play getting their purpose in worship. Ordinary people talk about worship as if it were confined to some ceremony on Sunday morning or on Sunday evening or at some other time during the week which has either been prescribed for them or by them. Ceremony does not have to be irrelevant, nor does a particular time of worship mean that people who worship there don't know how to worship. If a certain ceremony, however, or a certain time or place are all that there is to worship, you can just about depend upon it that worship in that case has become irrelevant. It is no longer a part of life. It is separate from life. It is apart from life. It doesn't have very much to do with life. Worship flows from whatever is really worthy in life. It has to do with everything that is really worthwhile in life. If worship does not reflect the fact that life comes from God, that it is renewed by God, that it is sustained by God, it isn't worth very much at all. It's just a thing to do, as we have other things that we have to do. It becomes like work when you do it because you have to do it, and even play when you do it because somebody else is expecting you to do it. Real worship is like real work and real play. Like real work, it means something. And like real play, it's the source of real enjoyment, real refreshment, real renewal of body, mind, and spirit. It's the kind of thing you see in the lines of the psalmist, and even between the lines. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. bless his holy name. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. It's the same sort of thing that St. Paul was talking about. Work and play are part of that ordinary life which is offered to God in worship. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. God must be good news to make people talk like that. He is good news. Maybe that isn't the way you heard it, but that's the way his people have always told it. I get letters from people who obviously would feel a lot better if God would tell them off. They know they deserve it. They have a natural feeling of satisfaction when they get told off, because they know they have it coming. God does tell people off. He tells them off in all kinds of ways. He does so by word of mouth, through his word. He does so by his actions, bringing them to their knees with distress of one kind or another. He does it finally, once and for all, with his judgment of death. He tells people off, all right. There can be no mistake about his ability to pass judgment on you. The psalmist was quite aware of that, too. In a moment of great distress, he said, "Against you and you only, O God, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." If he hadn't recognized that, he would never have praised God at all. That's the beginning of praise, to see yourself as you are and to see God as he is. How is he, anyway? He is a God of judgment, perfectly capable of condemning everyone. The same God, the one who passes judgment on you, is the one who is good news. His steadfast love endures forever. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness to all generations. The men who walked with Christ Jesus and came to know him found out who God is. Jesus called him his Father. "My Father and I are one," he said. There was no mistaking his closeness to his Father. He was always talking to his Father. "This is eternal life," he said, "to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." God is our Father, to be known in Jesus Christ, his Son. Everything in life comes from him, is redeemed by him, and is constantly renewed by him. If he has the power to create, he has the power to recreate. "Great for God," said St. Peter, "the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of the magnificence of his mercy has brought us to life again and given us a hope that is alive, all through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again. This is the way the Son of the Father was when he came. This is the way God is. He sends his Son to die for our sins. And he gives that Son life again. He gives faith in his Son. And he gives people life who have faith in him. "We are all the sons and daughters of God," said St. Paul, "through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, faith takes in everything. Eating, drinking, sleeping, work, play, and worship. It's all a part of one life. The life of God that he gives to people who know him in his Son, Jesus Christ. Work is important in life. "If any would not work," said St. Paul, "let him not eat." Christ's men were not talking about pie-in-the-sky idleness. Some people, believing that the end of the world was near and that Christ was about to return, simply did nothing but sit, or what was worse, did nothing but act as busybodies in other people's affairs. St. Paul was against that kind of thing. He said so. He encouraged his people to value work as we do today. He also encouraged people to help take care of those who can't work, the old, the infirm, the sick, the helpless, and the hopeless. Speaking to his own generation, who remembered the ordeal of their fathers as they crossed the wilderness, and who had just witnessed his feeding of 5,000 people, Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For in him has God the Father set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the work of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." A good part of our world spends its time laboring for the food that perishes. Then people wonder why they're working themselves to death. What we see is a whole world caught up in the syndrome of success, committed to materialism of various kinds, including the virtuous materialism of work. People work hard for promotions, more money, to raise their standard of living, so that they can use their free time and spend it on themselves. Actually, this is a form of idolatry, where people work themselves to death, consume themselves to death, play themselves to death. In the struggle to prosper, they commit suicide. God sent his Son for people like us. He sent his Son to work. I must work the works of him that sent me, he said. He did that, even to a cross. He did God's work, atoning for the sins of the world. Our Lord spent a good deal of his time sitting around talking. He went out fishing with his disciples. It wasn't all work. There was a good deal of free time in those short 3 years that we know about. It wasn't enforced free time, as so much of our leisure is. It was a good thing, not just finding escape in fun and games. He did not work at his play, as some of us do. He enjoyed the time, as people do who know God as their Father. Perhaps one of the greatest marks of our civilization is the way people drive themselves to play, speed at their relaxation, and resign themselves to slavery and death. The great thing about knowing God is that you can enjoy your free time. There's nothing wrong about free time. God is in that too. So then, said the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever enters God's rest also ceases from his labors as God did from his. That does not mean that God was idle. He was creative all the time. He is creative today. So are his people. Even in their play, there's time for showing love, for talking to the children, as you're not able to talk to them otherwise, for putting your arm around your wife, for letting the dishes go and going out into the yard to enjoy the cool of the evening, for letting the glory of God's creation flow in upon you. People with faith can enjoy life like that, have faith in God, and enough confidence in him to trust that he's going to take care of everything. He expects us to work, and he lets us play, too. He intended us not just to pass the time, but to redeem the time. When prosperity becomes pressure and play becomes mere pastime, the world has lost something. What it has lost is probably at the very heart of our being. We have lost the wonder of worship. So many people play at their worship. Not even their worship is free. People perform it as a pastime, prescribed for them at a certain time and place. The worship of some older people is to pass their time playing cards. They're seriously occupied in that pastime because it's the only thing they think they have left in life. When worship becomes something to play with, like a last resort, the only thing you have left to play around with in life, it is no longer worship. It is just consuming time and building up anxiety. Not able to leave our own gods, we cannot worship the true God. Not having somebody who's absolutely trustworthy, who has the power to give and sustain life, we have only ourselves left, our weak, vain, selfish selves. People like that really worship themselves. They cannot bless or praise the Lord. They don't know God's benefits. And they have no true being themselves, because they do not recognize the real reason for their own being. I will praise the Lord as long as I have my being, said the psalmist. The only way to look at God is with faith in his love, with love for his kindness, with thanks for his goodness, with praise for his very being. Worship is thanking God that he is God, taking his forgiveness and living by it. It's basking in the sunshine of his love. It's looking forward to the wonderful fulfillment of his promises. Like the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's a free man talking. He's free of the haunting memories of the past, which rise up to accuse people when they don't know God. He is free from the anxieties of the future that trouble people because they do not know God. He's free to live right here and now with a real awareness of God because God forgives the past and he guarantees the future. He's the God of the living, the ones who live by faith in him. He's not the God of the dead who are dying all the time because they have no confidence in God, no love for God, no desire to worship him. A friend of mine has told me about a man who had a number of encounters with death. This man was talking to some young people about the goodness of God, how God gave him faith and health, and even used him to help others in various ways. This man had had 2 heart attacks and a few major operations. He had looked death in the eye several times. He was keenly aware of his close brushes with death. God spared his life after severe injuries, both in the military and as a civilian. For some time, this man has followed a rigorous schedule of physical exercise. 3 times each week, he goes ice skating. Not because he does not know what to do with his time, but because he wants to keep himself in good shape, physically, mentally, and also spiritually. There are 3 parts of his makeup, he says, and they all go together. Are you a successful man or woman? Good at your work, whatever it is? That's great. Do it all to the glory of God. Are you a fine athlete, good at basketball, football, baseball, and even that rigorous sport of tennis? That's absolutely great. Do it all to the glory of God. Do you enjoy worship while you're thinking about yesterday or today or tomorrow as you drive along in your car? Does it occur to you that you owe a great deal to God? Do you thank him while you have both hands on the wheel? That's a real act of worship. Do you look to him when you have a decision to make or someone is sick in the family? That's an act of worship. Do you regard your work and your play as a way of serving him? That's worship. Your work and your play are worship. Whatever you do, wherever you are, in whatever circumstance, do everything to the glory of God, giving him thanks in Jesus Christ, who's made all of this possible. It is worship to come to church of a Sunday morning and to enjoy saying to God, "Thank you, God, that you are God." It's all the gift of God. Freedom to work, that's a gift of God. The joy of play, all is a gift of God, a part of life where he redeems us from destruction, forgiving iniquity and healing diseases, crowning with steadfast love and mercy, satisfying with good. That's a gift of God. Worship him, my friend. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Amen.